I've got an hour and a half long sermon that we're going to try to condense down, all right? So y'all pray, all right? You had your chance. You could have been on the altar praying, and that preacher would have a short message. But anyhow, Miss Michelle should have some stuff up there, and that's why I run out and make sure she had all of this so that she could try to keep up, all right? So we're going to take a look at something tonight. Last Wednesday night, how many of y'all were here? Praise the Lord. How many of y'all remember what we preached on? Huh? What you talking about this? Oh, Ephesians 2. Okay, what was the title? I'm Saved, What's Next? That was good. I like it. All right. But I specifically talked about something. Now that I'm saved, What's Next? I specifically talked about something last week. What was it? Oh, my word. Who did that? Who was it over there? That's what I'm talking about, Miss Anna. Amen. Praise the Lord. Gifts. Remember we talked about the gifts that were delegated. We went through and we looked at some of those, all right? Tonight we're going to look at the goals that are designated, all right? The goals that are designated. And we're going to take a look at this from the same passage of Scripture. We're going to try to hang with it. So we'll start off with Ephesians 2, verse number 8. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I just like to remind y'all of them verses. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
So many people today are trying to live a life that is working their way towards heaven. And you can't do it. If you could, listen to me. I need everybody to hear me right here. I don't care what denomination you came from. I don't care anything about that. If you could work your way to heaven, Jesus would have never had to go to the cross. All right? If there's ever anybody that adds anything to salvation other than faith in what Christ did, all right, I need somebody to help me. What they're saying is it takes more than the cross. Y'all ain't wanting it, but y'all gonna get it. And I think it's a spit in God's face when we tell him we got to be baptized, when we tell him we got to do this or we got to do that. You're spitting in his face. He offered the greatest gift that he possibly could give. And he gave that for the salvation of man, not so you and I can make up our own religion. All right, let me move on. Verse number 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." What did workmanship mean last week? Man, I'm telling you what. Who answered that over on this side first? Miss Melissa, Chris picked up on it. Good job, Chris. All right. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto," say it with me, "good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." All right, let's go over once again to Ephesians chapter number 4, just as we did last week. And we'll look at several verses here. Miss Michelle, I'm going to read through verse number 10, and then we'll skip down a couple. I might not make it to verse number 10, all right? But anyhow, the Bible says this, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord," in verse number 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, that you walk worthy of the," say it with me, "vocation wherewith you are called." Now, I know we live in a society that's not real familiar with this word vocation, but for those of you that are familiar with the word vocation, tell me another name for this word. A job. Who said it? Thank you, Brother Wendell. I appreciate you. All right. So we're to walk worthy of the job or vocation that wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto, everybody help me right here, everyone. Let's say that again. But unto everyone of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. All right, we're going to skip down to verse number 11. And the Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Everybody, does everybody see that? Amen. All right, what does perfecting mean? My Sunday school class, you better know this. What does perfecting mean? Maturing, all right? Completing. Is everybody with me? This is what this word means. Somebody say amen that it doesn't mean us being perfect and never messing up. This is not what he's saying. It does not mean that we are without mistake or without a problem. It is for the maturing or for the completing of the saints, for the perfecting of the saints, for the, say it with me, work of the ministry. Are y'all following along? All right, am I going too fast? Say it with me again. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All right, let's do this. Let's read that verse together and we'll be done with our scripture reading, at least for right now. Everybody with me? Here we go. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You and I all, does everybody agree with this? Everyone, the Bible says everyone has a gift and everyone has a job or vocation, all right, in the ministry. Everybody agree with that? Amen. Everybody in here, we agree with that. We all have a job, all right? God has called us. He's given us a vocation. He wants us to walk in that vocation. He wants us to work. All right, and here we find out that we're to work for the ministry, and what are we trying to accomplish? The edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. What's the body of Christ? Us, the church, all right? It's not the church building. Church building's built, all right? We don't have to, is everybody all right? At this time, right now, we don't have to worry about building up the church, all right? What we're concerned with in this scripture is the church, not the church building. And the church is what's sitting in this room right now, me and you, all right? So these gifts have been given to us that we might work them and that we might build each other up, we might complete one another. In other words, there's something about you that's missing. I'm going to walk over here. Thank you, Brother Rick. I appreciate that. I ain't got it yet, but there's something about you that is missing or incomplete. All right? And so we need each other to complete us. That's why I cringe every time I see something that y'all post or somebody else posts about not needing the church. I cringe. Because we're not complete. That's right. Paul says, I have not apprehended. I have not arrived. If Paul hadn't arrived, I need somebody to help me. You ain't either. I need to throw this out there. You ain't either. If he never arrived, you haven't either. All right? And so you and I are incomplete. You and I have pieces that are missing. And they can only be fulfilled by somebody else. Matter of fact, you go all the way back. And you go all the way back in Scripture, and we can go all the way back to Genesis and find out that it is not good for man to be alone. Amen. I need somebody to help me. So God created a woman. Amen. I need some men to say, hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Some of y'all finally speaking up in church. Hallelujah. And for you ladies, don't get overly confident in it because y'all are the whole reason this mess is what it is today, all right? Bless God, God gave you to us to be a helpmeet, and y'all tried to lead the thing, and this is what happened. I'm messing, all right? I'm messing because y'all thought y'all had something on us right there. Y'all are all getting excited too. We just need to curb that back a little bit, all right? So we're looking at these goals, all right? The goals designated, all right? So if I have this job, all right? I really wanted to preach this on Sunday, just to be honest with you, so that everybody could get a good dose of this. But if I have been given these gifts, and it is for me to perform a job, and it's for me to edify the body, to build up the body, how can I do that? Preacher, what does that look like in the local New Testament church? What does that look like here at Calvary, all right? And so we're going to look at some ministries. We're going to look at some things. I'm going to share some things. Maybe that'll help you, all right? I want you to first notice with me the outreach and missions team. If we could break this down, we're going to do it in teams, all right? There are teams that you can get involved in, and we're going to give scripture for each one of these things. But I want you to be thinking of how can I put to work the gift that God has given to me and called me with and put it to work. How can I do this? What ministry will I fit into? All right. So we got Dalton got together. He's got several more than what I'm going to give because I just kind of I lumped some of the things that he has into an umbrella of some of these. But our outreach and missions team. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 16, in verse number 15, it says, "And he said unto them," somebody help me right here, "Go ye into all the world." Y'all say that again. Go ye into all the world. All right. "And preach the gospel to every creature." You know that every single person needs to hear the gospel. Somebody help me. Even the Democrats, I need somebody to help me. Even the people that you despise, even the people that aren't the same color as you, even the people that don't speak the same language as you. Everybody. God has commanded us to reach them with the gospel. Everybody needs to hear the gospel. You agree with that or not? All right. Now, let me ask you the question of this. Whose responsibility is it to make sure everybody hears the gospel? And mine. I like that. I like it when we just say mine, not ours, because then we're saying everybody. Then we're trying to put it, you can misconstrue that to be the church like Calvary Baptist Church. But when you say it's mine, I need everybody to say mine. Come on, y'all do it like Nemo did. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Mine, mine. What's them little, what were they called? The seagulls? Mine, mine, right? It's my responsibility. It's mine. God has given this to me. Go ye into all the world. All right? I need somebody to help me. I remember playing golf one time. I was on hole number 9. I was playing with this guy, and we were out there, and I can remember we were talking about church. We got talking about church, and he asked me, "What do you do?" Of course, I told him I was a preacher, and he said, "Yeah, we just had to get rid of our preacher. He wasn't bringing the people in." All right? Now, y'all can imagine how that conversation went. He's never come to church and probably never will. All right? But you can imagine how that conversation went when he turns to me and he says, "Our preacher just wasn't bringing in the people." It's not his responsibility to bring in the people. Amen. I need somebody to help me. That's right. Let's be a seagull again. Whose responsibility is? Mine. All right, it's my responsibility. The Bible says that we're to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, all right? So when we have something like a friend day and we ask you to bring somebody here, whose responsibility is it for you to get people here? Mine. Say it again. Let's act like the seagulls. Mine. All right? And so this is a way that you can use the gifts that God has given to you, all right? I don't know anybody in the church. Is there anybody in here that doesn't want to at least see somebody that they've invited to church, spoke to about Jesus or something, get saved? Is there anybody in here that says, "Preacher, I don't want to see them get saved"? No, we all do. And now we're offering these things that we're doing our best. We're doing four of these things. We're trying to do four of these things a year. They ain't so easy to put together. I mean, when you talk about doing a drama, we sit there for hours trying to figure out, okay, what does this need to be? What does this need to be? How does this need to go? We ain't perfected it yet, but we're doing the best we can. Why? Because we want to reach the world and preach the gospel. To who? Every creature. Every person that we can get under this way. So how can I be involved in that, preacher? You can invite somebody. You can get involved in that, and you can invite. Not only can you invite somebody, but while they're here, you can be a part of Dalton. I think you're putting together an altar team, and trying to get that going. And so we have people that's already learned. I miss Leanne. She was learning how to lead somebody to the Lord here recently. Who else was with you? Brenton, they were both sitting down here learning how to take a Bible and lead somebody to the Lord. All right. In other words, how when these folks come forward for salvation on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, they have somebody that can talk to them about the Bible. This is a way that you can get involved. The Bible says this in Luke chapter number 14, verse 21 and 22 and 23. It says, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, he says, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. He says, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be what?
Filled.
Oh, preacher, we like it just the way it is. Man, it's comfortable in here. I don't like anybody sitting close to me. Preacher, we like it just the way it is. You don't have a hard time with Jesus. I need somebody to help me. He said that, he says that, compel them to come in that my house may be
filled.
We got this thing coming up September the 10th. We're going to have a friend day. We're going to kick off this prodigal son. How many of you know a prodigal son? How many of you know somebody that needs to hear it? How many of you, let me ask you this, how many of you was one? Yeah. How many of you know one? Yeah. All right. How many of you are praying for one? Yeah. So why in the world wouldn't we take the opportunity on September the 10th to get them in the church? Say, preacher, all I can do is ask. I beg to differ. The Bible says compel them to come. What does compel them? Does anybody know what compel means? Drag them to church. That's my idea. Y'all handcuff them, bring them in. We'll preach the gospel to them and pray that God will just save them and we don't go to jail. All right? But anyhow, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But that is what the word compel means. It literally means when you see the Bible, you see in the Bible where Jesus compelled the disciples to get in the boat, it wasn't an option. Jesus wasn't saying, now look, if you want to, you can get in the boat. Jesus said, get in the boat or else I will put you in the boat. All right? That's what the word compel means. And of course, here we have a parable and it's talking about this supper and the invite to this supper. But I hope that we have the understanding that you and I are to compel them, which goes a little bit further than just, hey, we're having something on September the 10th. We'd like for you to come. I need somebody to help me. Preacher, I ask people to come all the time. How do you do it? Oh, hey, we're having something at our church. I wish you'd come. Oh, I'm going to leave this with you. I need somebody to help me. Hey, y'all, I told y'all it's an hour and a half message. I don't know how I'm going to get through this whatsoever. But how many of you know this? Man, these kids are running around here. Hey, Brother Robbie, Dalton and them will have a fundraiser. And I'll get hit with about three or four teenagers right after the service. I'll come running up to, Brother Robbie, would you tell me that? And here I am. I'm like, yeah. I mean, I done spent 50, 60 bucks right there. And why? Because they're excited about something. Yeah, is everybody with me? They're excited about something, and that excitement is contagious. And that excitement will open up my wallet. Now, don't none of you adults try that crap after church, all right? But when a youngin' comes running up here and says, hey, Brother Robbie, I want to do this, I need what you do. I'm like, yep. Go see Miss Michelle. Or Michelle, run, go get my wallet, whatever. Yeah. Why? Because when people are excited about something, you want to be a part of it. I need somebody to help me. I mean, if you see the police, come on, y'all. If you see the police and they're walking around like this right here, hey, how you doing? But if you see them excited and they're running somewhere, you'd be like, come on, let's go see what they're going on. I need somebody to help me. Am I telling it right or not? I mean, when it's exciting, I want to see something. Is everybody all right? The other day we were coming to church and there was a fire truck come running by us with the lights on. All right, and it was weird. It wasn't a fire truck. It was one of them accident Victor, I don't remember what it came called. But anyhow, it passed me there in Clarkeville. My wife's daddy was with me, and I said, man, something just happened. It passed us in Clarkeville. I pulled down there, and I turned out there by the corner store and started coming towards the church. We were coming to church, and an ambulance come. Man, lights are blaring. I'm like, we might better go find out what's going on.
That's right. Come on.
I need somebody to help me. Why? Because it was, I mean, it might have been ugly when I got there, but it was exciting on the way. Is everybody all right? I didn't go. Don't worry about it. I wasn't ambulance chasing or anything like that, but that'd be a good way to get people in the church, man. Is everybody all right? I mean, they laying there on the side of the road and say, look here, you need Jesus. I mean, they ain't no telling. People be getting saved all the time. But if you got excited about it,
that's right.
I need somebody to help me. If you got excited about it, maybe some people would show up.
That's right. Come on.
It might be the reason that you ain't excited about it because you ain't involved in it.
That's right.
No, I need somebody to help me. Boy, when you involved in something, I need help me.
Amen.
When you involved in something, you want somebody to come watch you.
That's right.
Wyatt, he'll come walking in there, pop, pop. My last game, he told me this in his T-ball with his baseball with the rec league. He walked in, he said, Papa, today's my last game, and you coming to it. I said, yes, sir. Is everybody all right? I mean, because he was excited, because he was playing in it.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, man, come on. He ain't never invited me to watch somebody else play ball.
Oh,
I need somebody to help me.
That's right.
He ain't never invited me to watch somebody else play ball.
That's right.
But if he's involved in it, but Jim Pop-Pop needs to be there. And I believe that if you get involved in church, you would see that people would want to come with you.
That's right.
Because they would see your excitement about it. How do I get involved, preacher? You can get involved in our outreach. You can get involved in our mission. We're supposed to have a missionary here tonight. His car broke down up in Atlanta, which is where he was at. And so, praise the Lord, it broke down before he got on the road. But anyhow, he's up there at a church. And they weren't able to come. They were supposed to be here tonight. But it's another way that you can get involved. Because, preacher, listen to me. If I can't go out and preach the gospel, then I need to help somebody that can.
That's right. Come on.
So how do I do that, preacher? I do that through a missionary. I need somebody to help me. Remember I told you them little kids run up here and I open up my wallet and I hand them money?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. There's missionaries, there's people that are going out there and they're going all over this world preaching the gospel.
That's right.
And if you and I won't open up our wallet and help them, then what? I need somebody to help me. I got invited to go to Africa this year, back in June. I got invited to go to Africa. I told y'all, if you've been here for any amount of time, I told y'all, I have no desire to go to Africa unless it's to go over there and kill stuff. All right, some of you hunters will understand that. Some of the rest of y'all ain't going to get that, all right? I ain't talking about people. I'm talking about going over there on a safari and killing some things, all right? But anyhow, I've always told them in the church, I said, I'm too fat to go to Africa. They'll be ate me over there. Everybody with me. And so we were talking about Africa. And hey, look, preacher, we'll pay for everything. All you got to do is get to the airport. Everything's paid for. You can go. We'll take you to Africa. We'll do this, that, and the other. Listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I don't want to go to Africa.
Amen.
But I get videos from Africa of people worshiping. Man, I wish I was there. Hey, I'm not going to stop just because your phone's going off. I'm just going to tell you right now, Miss Leanne. We know what you got going on there, all right? But anyhow, I get these videos. They send me these videos of them worshiping. Man, I'm going to tell you what. I shared one recently with somebody, maybe a Monday night. But Brother Junior, I was showing Brother Junior. Man, I love to watch that stuff. Man, I love it. Man, praise the Lord for it. But I'm not going over there.
Amen.
But you know how I can help? I can give some money to the guys that are going over there. I can pray for them. All right, let's move on. I got to be quick. This is what we're going to talk about. This is outreach and ministry teams. This is touching our community. How can we touch our community? Number two, not only see outreach and ministry, an outreach and missions team, but we have a first impressions team. Miss Jennifer, stand up. Hey. How many of y'all seen Miss Jennifer standing out there? I need somebody to help me. Ain't she doing a great job? She's doing a wonderful job. All right, listen here. If you work with Miss Jennifer out there in that pavilion, I want you to stand up. Thank you. I couldn't get them to stand up. Look what she did, all right? Hey, amen. Praise the Lord. These are folks that are doing this first impression. They're getting involved and using the gift that they have. Now, listen, if you're not a people person, you don't need to be in first impressions because you never get a second chance to make a... I need somebody to help me. You're going to never get a second chance to make a... And I can go ahead and tell some of y'all, if you come out and greeted me, I probably wouldn't come back. You're the type of person that you have to grow on somebody. Say amen. Y'all scared to say amen because you think it might be you. But first impressions are important for a church. You realize that people make a decision about the church in the first 5 minutes that they get to the piece of property? Amen. So where should our first impressions be? How can I get involved in that, preacher? Hey, if you're working as in the parking lot and you're parking vehicles on a Sunday morning, stand up. Y'all looking around. Yay. Nobody. Anybody got a clue why I did that? Why, Brother Edwin? Because we need somebody out there. Wasn't that good? Just walked you right into that one. Y'all were all excited, too. Who is it, preacher? Who is it? Who is it? Oh, it's me, oh Lord. Is everybody all right? I mean, if first impressions are so important, and this is what we're trying to get to. If the first 5 minutes they'll decide if they're going to stay or they're going to go, then we need some folks that'll sacrifice their time, a little bit of sweat, because we are in Lake Park in the summer, and be out there to say, hey, we're thankful that you're here today. I need somebody to help me. We are thankful that you come today. How many of y'all, you get here at church and you have to open a door on a Sunday morning? Is there anybody that gets here and has to open a door on a Sunday morning to come into church? Nope. Why? There's a care team that's doing that. If you open in doors, I want you to stand up. They might not be here. I know the Prines. I know some of the other. There we go. Go ahead. Brother Bobby, Miss Lane. Is anybody there? Stand up! Jennifer said. That's what she said. All right, there we go. All right, now we're starting to get somewhere. I have to holler at them, Miss Jennifer. I got it. All right. But these folks, what are they doing? They're working in the gift and the vocation that God has given to them. Now, from the show of people that stood up, you think we need some more folks around the doors? Praise the Lord. All right. So here's first impressions. The Bible says, Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Somebody's saying, I ain't got no friends at church. Ding, 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 ding. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So if I want to be a part of this, hey, listen here, I got to be friendly. We got door greeters. We got parking lot greeters. We need them. Brother, we got minglers still. We got minglers that's going around. All right, you may not know this, but man, we're doing the best that we can. We got people that are walking around, and their sole job is to walk around and find people that are new here and say, hey, thank you for coming. Now, how many of y'all could do that? Everybody in the church better raise your hand. That's what we're supposed to do. Think about it this way. If you were visiting a church, how would you want people to treat you? Oh, I want them to leave me alone, preacher. Why? So you can get on social media and say, I went to church and nobody shook my hand. Nobody talked to me. Nobody even looked at me. They didn't even, what? No. We want to feel like, come on, y'all, help me. We want to feel like we're important. We want to feel like we're important. Amen. Man, we pull up into a parking lot and somebody's out there to say, hey, thank you for being here. We're glad that you're here. I need somebody to help me. EJ was telling me he went to a conference and he said, man, I got out of the car and they had valet parking at the conference. I was like, cool. He said, I got out of the car and the guy said, hey, you can park your car or we'll park your car over there. And EJ was like, no, I can do it myself. And the guy said, no, I'm sorry. He said this. The guy said, hey, Pastor EJ, how are you doing? Hey, listen, he was in Seattle, Washington. This is a redneck from Kentucky. He's in Seattle, Washington. Dalton, we need to implement this. He gets out, and they have a valet parking, and the guy says, hello, Pastor EJ, glad to have you. Would you like for me to park your car? EJ's like, no, I'll park my own car. It's a rental, and if you wreck it, no, I'm just kidding. But anyhow, you get the idea. And then he walked in. He went and parked the car. He walked into the church, and he said, as soon as he walked into the building, they said, as somebody walked up to him and said, hey, Pastor EJ, how are you doing? He says, I'm doing great. Thank you. He says, we're glad that you're here. How's Miss Whitney and the kids doing? I need somebody to help me. Amen. EJ's like, what is going on? They started asking him questions about the ministry, about his flight, about all these other things. They said, hey, we've got a place reserved for you. You come right on over. EJ said, man, I didn't know what in the world was going on. He said, but these people, they had a profile of each one of us that was coming, and they studied that thing because they cared. And he said, and when I walked on that property, they were ready for me. They had already studied up about my life and my family, and they wanted to be a blessing. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
EJ said, man, I ain't never felt so special. Oh. Now, we ain't wanting to stalk nobody and find out everything, but how many of you know this? When somebody comes up and treats you like that, how does it make you feel? Mm-hmm. Yeah. How could it change our church? This is going to be at least a two-night series. Maybe a three-week. I don't know. But how could it change the dynamics of our church if we cared about somebody that walked through the doors? Hey, I need somebody to help me. We're trying our best to reach our community. And so we have an outreach ministry. But what good does it do us to have an outreach ministry and bring them here and then treat them like they ain't even here? Now, I thank God for the minglers and everything else that we have. But this church has always been known. From the time that I came here, this church has always been known for being a friendly church. I mean, we, as far as I know, we ain't never had a problem with somebody shaking your hand.
Amen.
Hugging your neck. Even when the visitors are doing this. We might even be overly. But hey, listen here. I would rather be that than to have a visitor come. And listen, y'all, it's getting harder and harder. I know y'all got it all figured out and y'all could handle. I know everybody in here. I know every one of y'all knows all 400 people. Their name, who they're married to, and their kids. I know y'all do. But you expect me to. People walk up to me and be like, hey, brother, Pastor Robbie. I'm like, hey, who are you? Oh, we've been coming for 3 months. How's a pastor missing somebody that's been coming for 3 months? How easy would it be for you to say, hey, let me introduce you to our pastor. Let me take you to our pastor. I need some, y'all, are y'all getting what I'm saying? How are we going to use the gifts that we have? It takes all of us. We all work together. I'm done, Michelle. We'll do the other 6 points later. Yeah. Dalton's got it laid out. He got all kinds of things for us. But how are we going to do this? This is it. Y'all are here every Sunday. Most of you. You're here on Wednesdays. God has given you a gift. And all I'm asking is that you use that gift.
That's right.
So it's just easier if it's a, you know, if it's a small church, smaller church, it's just easier. It's not. It ain't no easier in a small church or a big church. People are coming in. I need somebody to help me. We're going to get into this next week. People are coming in and they're hurting.
That's right. Come on.
They're coming in and they're looking. Why do you think all these influx of people are coming? Because they're looking. Some of them are walking in with a broken home. Some of them are walking in after an addiction. They're searching. And too many are so focused on, let me get in and get out, because we got two services on Sunday. I can come to the early service and I can get out of here and I can go do whatever I want to. Would it kill us to stay after church 15 minutes to make sure not one person is missed? Would it kill us to get to church 15 minutes early to make sure not one visitor beat us into this church? We were ready for them. We wanted them here. Because the first impression, you don't get a second chance at it. And we got 5 minutes. 5 minutes. To get them to a place where they say, you know what? This feels like home.
That's right.
And then give the gospel to them. And hope, about an hour later, that an altar worker gets to share Amen. From God's word and pray with them.
Amen.
And they get saved.
Right.
Say, preacher, I can't do anything. I can't do anything. Our outreach ministry, Friend Day on September the 10th, prodigal son drama. Tell me again why you can't do something. Miss Jennifer, could you use help? Amen. Brother Edwin, can you use help? That's under the umbrella of the care team, and we're going to get to the care team. I ain't forgot about it. Because that care team's important. She's under the umbrella of the care team. She's the one. Hold on, Brother Chris. She's the one that's meeting these people. We're trying to get, hey, it goes farther. That care team goes farther than that. First time attenders, hey, you got a prayer request, something we can pray for you with? Hey, we want your name. I'll cover this next week. But you don't realize that name's taken down. It goes into the office. Miranda's putting it into a computer, into a database. It's being sent to Dalton. Dalton's writing a postcard, letting them know, hey, we appreciate you coming to our church. We love you. We're glad that you come and stop by our church. Hope that you'll visit again. And old Miss Michelle, shy Miss Michelle, she's calling them and saying, hey, thank you for coming. We appreciate you. So, is everybody all right?
That's right.
We're doing best we can. But if you notice, a lot of staff is doing it. Help me. Let's do our part. Bro, Chris, what you got?
The Lord laid it on my spirit to say that. You know, I'm not able to do it right. But my spirit's on fire for the Lord, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I can pray.
Yeah.
I know I take great joy in being able to walk around and shake people's hands.
Right.
Other people oriented. You know,
Amen.
Yeah. That's what it takes.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Jesse.
So, Chris, I want you to know something.
Hold on just a minute, Miss Julie. Amen. Praise the Lord. Miss Julie, you need a microphone? Are you good? Okay. Amen. Amen, Miss Julie. Amen. Amen. Think about it. Think about walking to a church and you've never been to church and meeting somebody like Chris, meeting somebody like Jennifer. I need somebody, I'm going to say this, meeting somebody like you. Man, we get it from other independent fundamental Baptist churches around here. I'm independent, but don't you lump me in with that junk. Some of these folks, hey, listen, they just soon not have a Jesse show up. They, Frank.
I know that's right, brother.
That's what our church is.
That's right. Come on.
Somebody, all of us, different walks of life. In the body of Christ, building each other up. Strengthening one another, completing one another.
That's right.
I wouldn't want to go to church with anywhere else.
Amen.
I got a feeling there's a lot of people in our community is the same way. If they ever experienced it, if they ever come in here and experience God moving in our services,
that's right.
And say, you know what? I'm coming back. This feels like home. Yes.
I just want to say more than anything, why I invite you here is not just the fellowship, but it's your teaching.
Yeah.
Because it's doctrine.
Yeah.
I have never, ever been taught the Bible the way I have in the last 3 years.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's what happens when you have a standard that's God's word.
That's right. Come on.
And I want to second that to say, having the freedom to really get to worship.
Yeah. Yeah.
To speak. I've never been in church when you get to stay.
Yeah.
You know, you
can
have meetings like this.
Yeah.
Fellowship.
Yeah.
Is what it's about.
Amen.
How we're truly a family.
Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ain't God good? Yes, sir.
I've never been to a church where you don't have an altar call. You sing a song and people feel moved and you get up and go forward. You always have to wait for you to go to church and the preacher calls you after the service. Here, the people feel free to go forward.
Yeah.
I have been the recipient of men gathered around with an altar.
Yeah. Amen.
You see it all the time here. People get up and men, I'm ashamed to say it, but the ladies do a lot more than we do. But they'll gather around and they'll.
You're right.
You don't see that at other churches.
Yeah.
You don't feel the love at other churches.
Right.
Yeah.
Is this a perfect church?
No.
I
yeah.
I love this church.
Amen, brother.
Yep.
Yeah, you're not going to have anything perfect with a bunch of imperfect people in it. I need somebody to say amen.
Amen.
And if all of y'all are perfect, I'm not. So we'll just work that away, all right? We'll just go that route. I sure am thankful. Let me challenge you. Brother Charles says it happens a lot more with the women than it does the men. Why is that? Jesse, you need prayer? Chris, you need prayer every time you come to church? How about some of you men? I need some help. Y'all need prayer? Or y'all got it all together? You know, as a man, I'll just be honest. As a man, there's things that I don't share with my wife that I'm dealing with. I may not even share with a man. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
But down here on this altar, I can share it with God, and you can come down here and pray with me. You ain't got to know what's going on in my life. And I can imagine I'm not the only one that's like that. You got some things going on in your life, some things that you don't want to admit, some things, some fears that you don't want to admit. I need somebody to help me. It's okay.
Come on.
All right. We act all big, bad, and tough, but it's okay to face a situation and say, "Preacher, I'm scared." You ain't even got to say, "Preacher, I'm scared," but to feel it. Now, I will say this, God's not giving us a spirit of fear. So we need to understand where that fear is coming from.
Amen.
But if we're going to defeat it,
amen.
Amen. Yes, sir, Brother Junior.
Somebody's church. We didn't know nobody. Couple of churches we went to, one person spoke to us. And it was a larger church than this. Mm. It came from a smaller church than this. And we were greeted very well by this young lady here.
Yeah.
And I thought that was real nice. And I don't know everybody in here. That's just one
I don't thing. Either. We're good.
But when we got here, and I think we've been coming before Christmas, I believe.
Hmm.
And to me, this is a friendly church.
Amen.
I got to give it to you for preaching the word.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord.
But I want to thank everybody for being nice and welcome.
Amen, Brother Junior. Yes, sir. Right.
Especially at
Yeah.
It just hit me. I was like, man, why am I not like that?
Choose. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I literally, on the way, I just, like, it was a blessing. It was a refreshing. Like, to me, that was like, man, that's what I thought. I was
yeah.
Like,
Oh, well, sure. Absolutely. Woman up in South Carolina at a Walmart, body of Christ, working in her gift, edifying other believers. Yes, sir.
I said, "Do y'all have services now?" And they said, "Yeah." And someone went and got Pastor Scott for me. Pastor Scott said, "We talked for a few minutes about the committee. Brother, you," I said, "I really don't feel good going in there at night. I don't want to make a bad impression on folks smelling as bad as I do. Yeah, Baptist. You promised me you will come back again." Sunday rolled around. There was no doubt where we were going.
Yeah.
That man made me promise to be here. We come in. We're thrilled to be here. We're supposed to look at other churches in Lake Park. We never made it.
Mm-hmm.
We just never made it anywhere else. Lord, so this is where you need to be.
Amen. Traditional. Yeah.
Choir director in the Philippines, choir director in Berwyn, and up in Illinois. Now y'all see me up there. You want to never sit it up.
Yeah.
You want to make my day. You get up that pulpit and you say, "We're going to see Jireh.
Yeah.
We're going to see worship.
Yeah.
We're going to see something from elevation worship."
Yeah.
Ain't nothing better. It's all about the words.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen, brother. Amen. Yes, sir. Yeah.
And when we walked through that door that very first day, he had finally, the Lord had tugged at his heart for years. And Jackson had slowly tried, but not pushed him because he knew Derek. And if you push Derek, he's just going to try to do the complete opposite of what you think on the child. So he did for a long time. And then Jackson got a hold of him. Started talking to Jackson more, and he told me that
Yeah. And now she's on the first impressions team out there.
Amen.
Showing the same to somebody else. That was shown to her. You know, Jesus, the publicans, tax collectors, the sinners, were comfortable around Jesus. We've managed to make church uncomfortable for the people that need it the most. How did we do that? You know who was uncomfortable around Jesus? Religious people.
That's right.
Real uncomfortable around Jesus.
Amen.
All them sinners and publicans, all them doubters, they were comfortable. They followed him because they knew he was real. He loved them. Amen. Amen. I told y'all it was a 3-hour message. And we only got to point number two. I wasn't kidding. I wasn't kidding. I told you I wanted to do it on Sunday morning, but and I do. I really do want to do it on Sunday morning. Because there's so many people that's coming through these doors. If you've been, I go on my social media page on Facebook. I don't post a whole lot, but last Wednesday night and this Wednesday night I posted, where do I fit in? And there was a missing puzzle piece. We got new folks. Where do I fit in, preacher? Where we're trying to get to. I need somebody to help me.
Amen.
I'm going to share some good news that I want you to pray about. Yesterday, I got a phone call. I called, it's been over a month ago.